And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern here staring at Bridgestone Arena. You know what that means, especially during the week, during our show. That means the Predators are at home, and tonight it'll be the Anaheim Ducks. Tonight, Anaheim. Saturday night, the Buffalo Sabres right here in Smashville. And then the Predators will go away for over a week, get the All-Star slash bye week, but tonight it's the Ducks. It's the last team that Peter Laviolette would face as the head coach of the Nashville Predators in their overtime loss. Was it overtime? Was it shootout? I don't even remember now. Shootout. Yeah, I think it was shootout.
But they came back.
In Anaheim. They got a point, but that would be the final game not too long ago, obviously. And it'll be the Ducks again tonight. So game five under new head coach John Hines. Fan foodie night. You get rewarded. It's been a big hit this year, 50% off food and drinks. So that has been a lot of fun for the fans, and another installment of that tonight.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and obviously it's different now with both teams, but the Ducks still a little something extra whenever they come to town. I think many fans remember. I mean, that's when things really kicked off with the Preds, because you know, that first playoff series that they had against Anaheim, that was the first time that the Preds had advanced to the second round, beat them, and then they've had game sevens, and then, of course, the Western Conference Final. So still a lot of bad blood between these two squads. Should be fun tonight.
We'll have Trey Wingo join us in about 15 minutes or less. He'll be coming up in the next segment. Always good to catch up with him as we get ready for championship weekend. Kind of a light night in sports last night. There were only two hockey games. I watched one of them, Flyers and Blues. In fact, when I got home, it was in the second period, and so I got to watch. St. Louis was up 1-0. Now, really, all the action began basically when I tuned in. It was a good game, and the Flyers went in and beat St. Louis in overtime at their place. So it was an interesting game. They got the game winner, 3:33, Voracek, and the Flyers beat the Blues. There's a lot of college basketball, a lot of SEC. And I tried. I did. I really did. I gave it the old college effort, but it really was kind of like my effort in college. It wasn't good enough. I could have done better. But
I know how
college basketball just does not appeal to me this year. It really doesn't. It is, gosh, I don't want to, dare I say, I just don't want to poo-poo the product. But this year, man, compared to last year, not even close. In this market, especially, I mean, Tennessee is a shell of itself, even though they got their, you know, they got good news yesterday, by the way. We didn't even pass that along. They get, after what, try number 14, he finally gets reinstated to the program. I mean, the seven-footer, and he played last night. But Tennessee is not very good. Vanderbilt, without Neesmith, they're just awful without him. Kentucky is not very good. They lost to South Carolina on a buzzer beater last night in Columbia. Kentucky is a shell of itself last year. Duke and North Carolina, nowhere near last year. I got to be honest. I just look around college basketball, and I'm like, just really doesn't appeal to me. There's no big-time stars, right? Last year we had the Zion effect, and there were a lot of really good players. Ja Morant, who's, by the way, just lighting it up for the Grizzlies. They're loving them some Ja Morant.
They're going to be a lot of fun as he continues
if they
to grow
can keep,
and they can
if
build
they can
around
get,
him.
Right, if they can get like one or two more.
They
and I know,
around
and I know every NBA team is trying to do that, but, gosh, if they can get like one or two more big-time players, maybe, you know, it's not good that they're – maybe they – I don't know. This is probably not the year for that draft. I'm sitting here trashing college basketball, and yet I'm saying maybe you need to stink and try to get another good – I don't know. I look around, and I'm like, doesn't look like there's a – you know, although Cole Anthony will be really – he's just hurt. And, but college basketball, I'm sorry. I just – I'm glad it came here last year, because this year, NCAA tournament, it'll be fun because it'll be upset city. I think it'll be really difficult – to pick your brackets because it's going to be chaos.
Vegas will.
You're not going to have a clue. Yeah. You're really not going to have a clue because I think on any night in college basketball this year, especially, you can lose. There's like no dominant team. So I watched the Flyers and the Blues last night. There really wasn't much going on in the sports world.
Yeah, I did that. I actually started the Aaron Hernandez documentary that's on Netflix.
Oh, how was that?
It's interesting. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's interesting. I mean, it does a deep dive into a lot of different things. You know,
is it as bad as you would think? You would suspect?
Yeah, but I mean, the thing that they really focused on was his sexuality, and that was a lot of things with him that you know, there had been rumors that he was gay, and so they talked about that and had his alleged, you know, partner on talking about it. So it's very interesting. It's I think it's three parts total. So I got through, and each one's about an hour or so. So I'm looking forward to finishing that. But, you know, very interesting and sad story for Aaron Hernandez and just how, you know, the rise and fall.
Well, he just wasn't a very good person.
No.
We know that.
No. So
obviously was dealing with a lot of demons, but.
Right.
And
it's just it's just one of those things that, you know, when there are some guys when they – and I'm looking forward to the Michael Vick 30 for 30 – you know, when it comes out. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that when they hit it big, there's certain aspects of the former life they just can't let go, you know, people or something like that. And you see that time and time again that and OJ was like the complete opposite. You know, OJ had his new life, and then when everything happened, the new life left him.
And that is the tough road that a lot of them go down. Their boys give them grief, right? If they try to break away from that life, they give them grief of how dare you? Oh, just now because you've made it, oh, you're going to, you know, turn your back on us. Remember, we were always there when, you know, you had nothing going on or you had nothing. And so they have to deal with that element and, you know, the pressure behind the scenes of, oh, okay, that's cool. I see. You know, you've made it and now you've turned your back on your boys. Sometimes you have to make tough decisions in life.
Yeah.
And if your boys is a bad decision and it's not a good place for you to be, then you have to walk away.
Right. And that's not easy. I mean, I know that's not easy, but you were given an opportunity that they weren't, and you can't screw up that opportunity. But so, yeah, if you haven't checked it out yet, it just came out on Netflix, the Aaron Hernandez documentary. I highly recommend it.
I've told you that for years. You know, when you were a board op, that's fine. I realize that was your group, but now that you're on air, that
I know.
Sometimes you have to make tough decisions.
I know.
You know?
And look, it has been hard. Elijah will call me and want to hang out, and, you know, I can't answer. So.
Well, I really wasn't talking about Elijah.
But it certainly applies.
Yeah. We're going to have both coordinators at Vanderbilt. You know, Derek Mason has added some staff members, and he's added a new offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, and they are going to be here on site with us to kick off the third hour. So we're looking forward to that. Of course, Thursday, you know, at 1 o'clock, we talk to Elliot Friedman. Always look forward to that. There's so much going on in the hockey world that we can get in with Elliot. So got a lot of stuff on tap as we sit here on this Thursday before championship weekend. I've had so many people reach out to me. What do you think? I'm like, you know what? I'm not giving you any give me till the end of the week. Let me just keep soaking all this in. Let me keep thinking about it. Let us keep talking about it, and let me get a vibe. I felt like I was on the right side. I had the right vibe in Foxborough. I don't think I had the right vibe for Baltimore. I just did not see it playing out that way. I was wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to sit back and take it all in, and by the end of the week, I'll kind of figure out where. Well, we'll have to because we'll be doing pick six tomorrow in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah. The week of New England, I had this feeling they were going to win. Last week, I had this feeling they were going to pull the upset. This week, I don't have a read yet. I just don't. I'm like you. I don't have a feeling. I have the feeling of this is a group that believes in themselves, and therefore it's going to be really, really hard to stop them. But then, excuse me, there's the part of me, too, that looks at it as it's going to be really hard to beat Patrick Mahomes twice, especially when you got him the first time. He wasn't 100% yet, and he's played a lot better since then. Arrowhead's a tough place, but they've also had their way with the Chiefs. They've had their way with Andy Reid, so historically. So there's a lot of different things that go their way. And Derrick Henry is unstoppable right now, and he put a buck 88 on him when they played him before. So, and if Chris Jones is out, I mean, that's going to be really, really tough for the Chiefs. So, but I'm not ready to give a prediction yet either. We'll do that tomorrow.
If you think, if you're questioning whether this station is all in on this run, well, last week you know that we had 10 hours. Let me repeat that. 10 hours of pregame coverage leading up to kickoff of the Titans and Ravens in Baltimore. 10 hours of pregame coverage. You think that 10 hours is good? 10 hours is good. The day of the game. Starting Friday, you and Teron will be in Kansas City.
Yep.
You're going to be providing the live show from 6 until 8 p.m. Then our man Elijah Campbell back there at our studio with Calvin Smith are going to take coverage after you guys all the way to midnight.
Yes.
Live coverage all the way until midnight on Friday. Then Saturday, it just keeps going, starting at 10 in the morning. This is on Saturday. 10 in the morning, 10 to noon, 12 to 2, 2 to 6. A lot of this coming from Kansas City. Then on Sunday, our coverage begins at 6 a.m. So you're going to get coverage all day and after the game. Some post-game coverage after the game. Win or lose, there will be a post-game show. So if you're looking for coverage for Titans and Chiefs, just like you've been looking for coverage during this playoff run, this is your spot.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have you covered. Looking forward to doing it again. You know, I feel like I've been on the road a lot lately, but it's been a lot of fun. And did Baltimore last week and then Kansas City this week. And hopefully there's one more road trip.
And Dallas
for
before
the
that.
In Dallas, yeah, for the Winter Classic. So hopefully there's one more road trip for the Titans coming up. But
in Miami this time of year, let me just say that, say this, it doesn't stink being in Miami in
late
January.
Never been to Miami.
Oh, boy.
I've never been to Kansas City. But I've never been to Miami.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
A little bit.
Same.
Yeah. A little bit.
Just a smidge.
South Beach. Good time.
Remember the Casey Alexander tweet I read yesterday about the Kansas City airport?
Yeah.
That's kind of a theme.
Yeah.
Miami, you're not going to get that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Trey Wingo. We'll talk about this matchup on Sunday with Trey. Of course, part of Golic and Wingo every morning on ESPN. We'll talk to Trey next here on Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live. You're looking in live at Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight it's the Predators and the Ducks. 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 6 and everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. We always enjoy our conversation with our next guest. Trey Wingo on the line, part of every morning on ESPN. They say it's called Golic and Wingo, but isn't it Golics and Wingo? Isn't it plural? Golics and Wingo? Trey, how you doing?
Good. Sadly, that is correct. I got to deal with both of those meat puppets. But I'm really excited to talk to you guys about the firing of Peter Laviolette and Pekka Rinne's goal. I mean, that's where we're going, right?
Oh, man. Let me tell you. For in all seriousness, for a guy like Pekka who's been talking about that his entire career, he has always wanted to score a goal, and it happened. It was actually a really cool moment.
So, like the rest of us, Pekka always is looking to score. Got it.
Okay, cool. He's just remember, when you talk about Pekka, he is a goal scorer. Just keep
there
that in mind.
I always like talking about Pekka because it reminds me of something you'd find on a charcuterie report. Can I get a little Pekka Rinne on the side of that, please?
So, I got to be honest. We've talked to you over the years, and I can't remember the last time. It wasn't that long ago, but I'm pretty sure when we talked to you, we weren't sitting here talking about a team that's probably going to be playing in the AFC Championship game. So it's taken us by surprise a little bit, a good surprise. But when you sit there from afar and you see how this thing has played out, when you see the Titans, how did they end up in this spot, in your opinion?
Derrick Henry?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good, isn't he?
Is it that simple? Look, he's been ridiculous, right? But it would be sort of slighting what they've done to say it's just him. But he is the ultimate hammer, and they have a formula and they stick to it. And Mike Vrabel, I don't think he's going to win Coach of the Year, but I think he made the coaching move of the year in going from Marcus to Ryan Tannehill, because the numbers are just startling. since that change. I think they doubled their point total in the regular season from 16 a game to almost 32. I think they were the number one red zone efficiency team in the NFL since he took over. Now, he doesn't have to make a ton of plays, but he makes the plays that are necessary. Now, I don't know if they can win this Sunday if he's only going to throw for 80 passing yards like he has in the first two games against the Patriots and the Ravens. This game is going to be different for them for a couple of reasons.
I think John Robinson should be in the running for GM of the year too, right? Because just think about this. Miami paid – I always think of the movie Moneyball, remember, when Billy Beane is talking to David Justice. He's like, David, you realize your former team, they paid me to take you off their hands. Miami paid Tennessee to take Ryan Tannehill off their hands, and he's one game away from playing in the Super Bowl in their backyard.
Yeah, that's hilarious, right, on so many levels. Now, I hope John does win because I think it's going to be very difficult for him to win it next year when he has to decide whether or not he's going to pay Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, or both, or neither, and those are going to be some very difficult situations.
How high would – I mean, look, none of us would be envious of that task because everybody has their own opinion of the running back, and I realize that that position has been devalued, but you just said it, and we've all said it. It's very clear. Without Derrick Henry, this team is not in the spot. He is invaluable to what they do, but what is the – I mean, how high is too high, in your opinion, to pay running back in today's game?
It's a great question because if you look at the running backs that have been paid, the three that have supposedly set the market, whether it's Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, or Zeke Elliott, none of them have had a season that would be worthy of what they've done, right? The Gurley thing, they have a chronic knee injury that they're dealing with, so that's going to be problematic. Le'Veon was on a bad team, I understand that, but he still had nowhere near the numbers that were expected of him. Zeke probably had the best season after getting paid, but you know, in hindsight, with the way the Cowboys ran their offense this year, when Dak was the second-best passer in terms of passing yards in the season, and they had the second-best passing offense in terms of total yards, maybe they shouldn't have paid Zeke Elliott, and they should have been worried more about dealing with Dak Prescott and figuring out Zeke later. So, and you add in the fact that he's a second-round pick in Derrick Henry, so you don't have the fifth-year option on him of a first-round pick. And the fact that as good as he is, and he's on a level right now which is ridiculous, he's still a giant bruiser, and those guys tend to run out faster than the more elusive backs. It's almost like he's being penalized for being so big and so good in the way the NFL is legislated right now.
Yeah, good point. We had your buddy Tim Hasselbeck on with us yesterday. Yeah, and I said, is this game going away from quarterbacks – like yourself, Tim, who was a statue, it couldn't move, ran about a 14:40. Because today's game with Watson and Mahomes and all these guys, Lamar Jackson, and I'll ask you the same question. Have we seen the end of the Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's and Eli Manning's and Phillip Rivers, the guys that just stand there and throw the ball downfield?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're seeing the versatility of what someone – let's take even a guy like Daniel Jones, right? Who is never going to be compared to Lamar Jackson or some of those other mobile quarterbacks you talked about, but his ability to move in the pocket helped the Giants out on several times this season where Eli was much more of a statue. Look, I always believe the game is going to be won from the pocket, and Steve Young talks about that all the time. But if you can incorporate someone like Tannehill or someone like Mahomes, who, by the way, in that ridiculous comeback on Sunday, not only threw for 320 and five touchdowns, he was their leading rusher and got out of the gate several times against the Texans. If you can add that to the arsenal, you're just going to be that much more difficult to defend.
Yeah, I don't think if you took Josh Allen's legs away, I don't think he is nearly as effective, and Buffalo doesn't have the season they had, right?
Correct, not even close. And, yeah, that's the prime example. I mean, like, I love it when the Bills social media account puts out stuff about how much of a runner he is. And that's cool, but you probably paid him to throw. So, I mean, we need to work on that part of it going forward.
We're talking to Trey Wingo. He, of course, is the host of Golic and Wingo that you can hear 5 to 9 a.m. on 94.9 Game 2 here in Nashville. So I'm curious, Trey, of, you know, we obviously see Mike Vrabel on a daily basis in covering the team, and there's been, you know, coaching situations this year where we've questioned them, scratched our head. Sometimes he's very emotional. You can definitely see the player side. But I'm curious of just kind of the perception that you see from a national view of how Mike Vrabel has done as the head coach of the Titans?
I think potentially, because technically he's not a Bill Belichick disciple because he wasn't assistant under him. He just played for him. But I'm lumping him in there because obviously a lot of what he's learned has come from being with Belichick. I believe when it's all said and done, he might be the guy that could be closest to Bill's success because of the way he goes about his business. And I'm not saying that he's going to have the incredible run that Belichick has had, because I believe Bill's to be the best of all time. However, I think, you know, he did out Belichick in that playoff game. And the best way to describe Vrabel to me is he knows what he has and he knows what he doesn't have. And he's going to make sure that the team, as it's presently constructed, is going to do the things that will give them the best chance to win. It doesn't mean they will, because there are limitations, but much like most of Bill's teams in New England, this Titans team is not going to beat themselves. They may get beat, but they're not going to beat themselves.
Do you think in today's NFL, having a little bit of personality like he has is important? Because, I mean, we've seen these robotic coaches like Belichick that, you know, don't want to talk to the media or don't want to reveal too much. And not that Vrabel really does.
I was going to say, I don't know if he really wants to talk to the media.
No, he
does it.
No, but he's still got a little bit of personality that you don't see in a lot of head coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I think works? Winning. You know, I mean, honestly, like, give you a classic example. If you're winning and you say funny things, oh, that's so cute, funny, our guy's kind of wacky. And then if he says funny things and you, it's like, well, that's just stupid. I don't know why he's doing that stuff. He should be focusing on film, you know. So like, as long as you're winning, anything works. And I think that Vrabel has a little bit of a personality and a little bit of an edge. Like, what was it? I think it was the last home game of the year when the punt returner fielded the ball inside the 10 instead of letting it go, and someone was going to ask him that question. Like, well, I knew you asked that. I knew someone was stupid enough to ask that question. I mean, that was, you know, I mean, I'm about it because I'm a content fountain, but, you know, that only works when you win. And they were luckily they were able to take care of the Texans in Week 17 and get in.
Now, the last time the Chiefs and the Titans met, it was, I think, Week 10 in the regular season. Titans win that game. Derrick Henry rushes for 188 yards, but Patrick Mahomes had just come off the injury, and there was obviously some bounces that went the Titans' way in that game. Patrick Mahomes has...
That is a very generous assessment. If I remember, the last two field goal attempts by the Chiefs were abject disasters.
Yeah, I mean, they were. I mean, that's why I think they're lucky bounces.
Well, the Titans admitted after the game that they had figured out when they were going to snap the ball.
Yeah.
So that makes things a little bit easier.
Well, not only that, but even the one before that, the snapper snapped it before they were even ready. Remember that?
You're right.
That was such... So they had the block, and then they also had the one before that when they're up 29-22, and Mahomes inexplicably takes a sack instead of just throwing the ball out of bounds. So it pushed the field goal back a little bit farther, but the snapper snapped it before they could even get lined up, before they could go up. That would have put them up, 32-20 with, like a minute 40 left in that game, right?
Yeah, it was something like that for sure. I mean, that's why the Titans were able to take advantage of those opportunities. So I guess where I'm going with this is I think the Chiefs have played a little better. The Titans have obviously played better down the stretch, so – do you have a good feel of just how close this thing will be, and do you think that the Titans have a chance to beat them for the second time, knowing that they've had their way with Andy Reid historically?
Yeah, look, they can win. There's no question about it. But it's not going to be they won both in New England and in Baltimore. You know, they were – New England, as we all know, was very limited offensively. And you know, Bill Belichick, actually, I thought had a brilliant sorry, I'm getting a little bit of a haircut at the moment, so you have to bear with the noise in the background. Thanks, Melissa.
Is that junior or senior? Who gives that to you?
No, it's Fitzy.
Okay.
Fitzy's doing the Manny Petty right now.
Was that part of his new deal that he signed, his extension?
Listen,
he's got to give you haircuts?
You get a multi-year extension, you got to do some things you're probably uncomfortable with. And that's one of them right now. But, you know, like, for example, I thought Belichick had a great game plan for the Titans in that game. It's clear that he wanted to take away one thing. And what was that one thing? The quick strike ability of A.J. Brown, right? What, he had one catch for 4 yards in that game?
Yep.
And Bill was very comfortable with the idea, okay, if we're going to win, we're going to limit them to long drives by Derrick Henry, and you guys scored exactly 14 points on offense, I think Bill thought we could probably find a way to score more than 14 points on offense. And they didn't. and they only got 13. They had a great goal line stand, and then obviously the pick six to end the game. You're not going to win that way against the Chiefs because they'll let, you know, their run defense has been suspect, although it's been much better since that loss. That was the last loss, by the way, for the Chiefs. They won seven straight games since then. It's been much better, and if you march down the field on them, cool. They'll score in 2 minutes. Like, that second quarter, I think that the touchdown that put them up at the half, 28-24 over the Texans, I think they got the ball on the five-yard line, and they were in the end zone in less than 2 minutes. So, I mean, that's how quickly they can do this. The advantage they had over both New England and Baltimore was never comfortable playing from behind. They had three games this season where they fell behind by double digits. They lost all three. That offense is not built to come back from behind. The Chiefs' offense is built to score whenever they want. So, I mean, you can run on them. That's cool. But you're going to have to do it three or four times because Patrick Mahomes is probably going to do whatever he wants to back there.
Trey, last thing. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask because I believe Jessica Mendoza made the comments on your all show on what's been going on in baseball. She has been taking a beating on Twitter with those comments. What did you make of what she had to say about Mike Fiers?
It's not surprising at all. And, Mike, quite frankly, Golic said the same thing yesterday. So everybody's outraged about Jessica Mendoza, and they're not outraged about what Mike said. My question would be, why are you outraged when she said it?
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's be honest. There is a code, right, in the locker room.
Yeah.
Mike Fiers, if he was going to be altruistic about it, he would have said it while he was benefiting from it in 2017, right? He waited until he left and got beat up by the Astros to say, well, this is what they're doing. He certainly didn't seem to have a problem with it when he was part of it, or was at least on the team when he was knowing what was going on. I mean, it is – I mean, let me ask you, would you have done that? Would either one of you guys have done that in one of your locker rooms, said, hey, this is what they're doing out there, and sort of do it that way?
I mean, I'd like to say no. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I would, but I mean – I don't really know. I mean, I see both sides. I guess that's where I am. I do see both sides because I understand why people are saying, well, you don't, you know, if you don't want to be called out, then don't be cheating. And so I understand that side. And then I understand the code and I understand the brotherhood and being in that room, being in a clubhouse. And so
I
get both sides.
To me, it would be one thing if Fiers had said to his A's teammates, hey, just so you know, this is what's going on here and this is how we can beat it. I'm not vilifying the guy, and I'm not going to call him what Phil Garner called him, a rat. But it does, you know, it certainly – I don't know many people – I mean, how many guys do you think that would do that in every locker room that you've been a part of? How many guys would really be willing to go down that road that he did? I think there would be very few of them.
Yeah. I think what also, though, I have to be careful, if I'm being totally honest, is others have come out and said stuff in the past, and they've been crushed. And you know what? They were right. I mean, Jose Canseco, whatever you thought about him when he made his comments, he was right. So, you know, anyway, I was just curious what your thoughts were because I thought that had happened
it
on your show.
It literally, just so you know, I mean, the thing from my perspective, literally over the last 2 days, every ex-athlete that we've had on said, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that part of it, but suddenly Jessica says it and she's the one that's suddenly getting crushed.
Yeah,
I'll leave people to interpret that how they want to interpret it.
Sure. No, look, I totally get that, and that is more than fair. Hey, always appreciate the visits. Thanks for doing this. Good luck with the haircut. We'll talk to you down the road.
Tell Fitzy hi.
All right, guys. Fitzy's now working on my left big toe, and it's hideous. So
is this like a scene from Dumb and Dumber?
Pretty much, yeah.
With the patty? Okay. Ooh. Good luck, Trey. Thank you.
See you guys. Take care.
All right. Trey Wingo. Part of Golics and Wingo. That's what I call it. Golics and Wingo. They just keep multiplying on that show. We always enjoy our conversations with him. We'll come back more of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. Good stuff, Trey Wingo. Appreciate him joining us as always. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Fan Foodie Night. 50% off food and drinks tonight. Preds and Ducks. 7 o'clock puck drop pregame at 6. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donnick will join us a little bit later in the program. You're going to hear from Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry in the second hour. New Vanderbilt football coordinators, offensive and defensive coordinators, will be by here and sit down at the table with us to kick off the third hour. Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. So we got a lot of things on tap on today's show. Jessica Mendoza making those comments on Golic and Wingo. She's been getting crushed on Twitter, as you can imagine. I certainly understand. I know where Trey's going with that. I get that. Phil Gardner, I mean, there's been a lot of people on then on the baseball side come out and, you know, have their shots at Mike Fiers too. What side of the fence are you on?
It's a really, really tough, because I get the whole code of the locker room, that mm-hmm. there's certain things that what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. So I understand that even more, you know, being around D-Mace and former players
sure.
that we've dealt with over the years, that
no
you get
question.
That insight of, listen, there's a lot of stuff that happens that you just like it stays in there.
If we had Hal Gill sit down here right
sure.
now, I know darn well what he would say. I don't even need to ask him, right?
Right.
We both know what he would say almost word for word. He's an old school guy, and, you know, there's no way he's going to be on board or be cool with what Mike Fiers said.
Right.
But there's this other side of, well, here's the deal.
They're
if
cheap.
You don't like what he's doing, if you don't like what he said, there is this element, though, he did tell everybody, the world, that they were cheating.
Right.
Extensive cheating.
Like big-time cheating.
Big-time cheating. So you have an issue. What Jose Canseco told us that there was cheating yep. going on in baseball, and he got crushed because he's a screwball. I get it. Because he's got his own issues. Was he wrong?
No. And these two things are different, but they're similar. Because these are and they're, you know, we've had the steroid conversation before of, okay, would you rather just not know? And just, I mean, because think about it. In 1998, baseball had been 4 years removed from a player strike that crippled the game. Because people were fed up with the players. And
well, they were striking all the time.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
And so people, the attendance was down.
There's no World Series.
The
World
Series got canceled in 94. You know, Montreal Expos probably got screwed out of a World Series because of it.
They were so mad they left.
Right. And so there were so many different things. That was funny. There were so many.
I got nothing for that?
No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm rolling. There were so many different things that happened that 1998, even though now we know why it happened, it was entertaining. I will never forget watching McGuire break the record and Sosa and McGuire going back and forth.
Remember, this was break-in material. When those guys came up to play, programming stopped.
Yes.
This is where you would break in and show the at-bat. That's how big it was.
Well, and it just so happened it was Cubs versus Cardinals when he broke the record. So they were both playing, and they would show all the games, and people got interested in baseball again. And they were watching, and they wanted to see these power hitters. Well, then we find out when Canseco writes a book that it's because they were all juicing. I think everybody deep down knew that something was up. You knew that it happened, but it was like, I don't really know, so I don't care. Well, now that you know, you care. And this, I think, is a little bit different because you're stealing signs. That, to me, that's breaking another code. That's just breaking the code of baseball.
Well, it's not about stealing signs. It's about stealing signs. Not stealing signs organically. It's
yeah.
about stealing signs with technology.
Right. If a pitcher –
if you
if
have figured out
off,
stuff just by with your eyes,
sure.
you know, that's one thing. But this was a whole
right.
different ball of wax.
Right. Completely agree with that. And so that's where, you know, it kind of goes along the same lines with the steroids and all that. So with all that said, I understand the code of the locker room, that if you know something that's probably bad or it happened in the locker room, it stays in the locker room. If you're altering the outcomes of games, you're winning championships because of technology and cheating, I also don't fault him for coming forward because now they've fixed the problem. So I understand that there are going to be people on both sides of the fence.
That's the hope.
Yeah. I mean, but.
But by the way, it didn't stop. And as we have found out, I mean, who knows what else is coming?
Steroids didn't go away. I mean, there were different ways, but it definitely slowed it down. So, yeah, you're right. And there's always going to be different forms of cheating. Cheating will never.
But I'm saying, I don't think it was. As we are about to find out, it's never just isolated, right? It's never one thing. Well, who knows? Do you think this story is over? You think it stops at Houston? 2017, that's it.
Yeah.
End of story. Close the book. You think that's it?
No.
Alex Cora has been fired.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So he was a part of that, and he saw that, and then who won it the next year?
Yeah, exactly.
So you just think what? Like, oh, that was a Houston thing. We'll leave all that there.
I think there are other
teams. Just saying, do you think that this – you think it's isolated and it's one? No. I don't think.
So, look, and Mike Fiers is going to – I mean, he's going to be blackballed. He's
right.
Go down.
He will pay the ultimate price. There's
he
no
will.
Question.
He will. But when we look back on this, like we do the steroid era, is it going to be one of those things where, okay, he probably did the right thing, or if we didn't know, it wouldn't have bothered us?
Jessica Mendoza said to go public with it and call them out and to start all this, it's a hard pill for her to swallow. Basically saying, I can't believe. And, of course, you heard Trey say that Phil Garner said he's a rat. You know, there's been all, you know, baseball people come out and say, basically, how dare you? How could you do that? Those were your teammates. Really?
They were cheating.
So here's an idea. But don't be cheating then.
Right.
But you got a problem? Well, oh, so do you have a problem with the cheating or you don't? You're just mad at Mike Fiers? I'm not talking about even Jessica Mendoza here. I'm talking about all the baseball people coming. I know she is a baseball person, so
right. They're
defending the sport. You know, I get it. That's what they.
And I'm
that's why
gonna,
they get paid.
I'm not going to blast
but
her like
so
people have.
Are you concerned at all with how this all began? Are you or is it just how we got here?
Right.
Because of Mike Fiers? Yeah. Are you really concerned about games were altered? Maybe outcomes were altered because of things that were going on. Does that concern you at all?
It should.
Yeah, it should.
So you're on the same side.
I understand. I do. I understand both sides. I can honestly tell you, I would not come out and blast somebody for being a snitch.
No,
or a rat. If they're telling the truth, if they were absolutely telling the truth, and something was happening because of what they unveiled to everybody, what they revealed to the world. I may not like it, but here's an idea. Then fix whatever was going on or be mad at what was going on because that shouldn't have been going on.
Let me ask it like this, though, and I can apply this to steroids too.
Because the biggest thing is I've seen, I'll be honest, and I know there's a thought, but some of the – just because of the people I follow on Twitter – like some of Richard Deitch, Dan Wolkin,
yeah.
A lot of media people are like, wow. Like you're a member of the media and you're saying you have a problem with this? What are you saying it's okay to
she's allowed to give
cheat?
An opinion.
Agreed. Right. Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, and she's doing it from the player's point of view.
And right? I think that's where Trey is like, oh, so, you know.
Right.
That's the road he was going down.
Yeah.
Because he's saying Mike Golick said the same thing.
Right. So why are you – yeah. The way I'll ask it is, because you were going to games. I mean, you know, I was a kid. I didn't understand the whole steroid thing when it first happened. But you know what the game looked like during that era. If you didn't know, if you never found out, if Jose Canseco never writes the book, if Mike Fiers never comes forward, and so you never find any of this stuff out, would it? I mean, it wouldn't change anything for you. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, but now that I know, it also cheapens it.
Right. That's why there are so many people on both sides.
I don't look at it the same, nor should I.
No, you shouldn't.
So we would have just gone through life suspecting?
Suspecting
I mean,
or,
you,
or
we,
never
look,
knowing?
Look, when you saw Barry, look, we all, Barry Bonds, right?
Was, like he's on something.
We all, come on. You don't think I don't remember Barry Bonds with the Pirates?
I know. He did not look the same. And then he's jacked in San Francisco and jacking home runs. I mean, just left and right. Which he always hit. He always hit home runs. Like he was a power hitter. You have to have that ability. But he made it even better.
A lot better.
And that lies the question of, you know, Hall of Fame. And I mean, I've always been one of those people that says, okay, put him in, but make a steroid wing. Make an era. Call it the steroid era.
Well, it's a part of the game.
Yeah,
it was a part of it was a part of the history of the game.
Right. You can't just
so
ignore
you can't
it.
Ignore it. All right, we'll come back. We will put a bow on hour number one here on this Thursday of Darren Donick and Chase. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, we're going to hear from Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry in the second hour of the program. As we get ready for championship weekend, Chase, you will be in Kansas City. You leave first thing tomorrow morning.
I do.
And I will say this, I'm not surprised, But the trend, at least looking at the weather patterns leading up to Sunday afternoon, it seems like it's going the wrong way. It's not like Baltimore where the temperature is going up, up, and up. You know, one would if you've ever been to Kansas City this time of year, you would suspect it to be very, very cold, and it looks like it's headed that way. I don't know how very, very cold it is. I think the game last time I was there, it was in late December, and it was like 5 degrees. I don't think it's going to be like that, but
well,
it's going down, down, down.
I don't know. I don't know what to read into this, but the high for kickoff on Sunday in Kansas City is expected to be 22 degrees. You can read into that what you will, if that is an omen, but that's cold. But
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. You can take that any way you want to.
So we had what, Winter Storm Henry and his birthday.
Yes. And now the temperature is 22.
In the wild card weekend.
Well, in kickoff, too, this was something. So I put out on Twitter that the at kickoff, the temperature in Baltimore was 69 degrees. And people immediately responded. I don't know if you remember this, but Matt Neely, Super Titans fan, passed away earlier this year. He always wore a jersey with his name on it with the number 69. So people took that as a sign. Taylor Lewan found out after the game, and he was really close with him. So there's a lot of different things that people have looked at. 22 degrees, obviously, being Derrick Henry. But here's the thing I'm concerned about. Tomorrow is supposed to be a wintry mix. And so, you know, planes and landing, and I'm a little nervous about that of, you know, getting there and is there going to be a delay, things like that. We're leaving early enough, so hopefully there could be something, but that we, or hopefully we could get there before it gets too bad. But tomorrow could be an adventure.
Could be. We had an adventure.
We
from
did.
Dallas to KC.
It was bumpy.
Very bumpy. Did not like that one. Have you seen this story that seems to be developing down in the bayou?
No, but I see the name, and he just...
Apparently there's been an arrest warrant, if I can spit it out, issued for Odell Beckham Jr.
That is not good. For what, did he hand out money again?
Well, we know that was the story, right? But evidently there was also a confrontation with an officer when all this was going on.
Oh, boy.
And so I'll be curious to see where this is going. Was it fake? Was it not fake? Well
LSU.
Joe Burrow, LSU's quarterback, who is gone.
Said it wasn't fake.
Barstool Sports said, yeah, I'm leaving. So he gave me real money.
Yeah, LSU has come out with an official statement saying that it was real, and they immediately – contacted the NCAA and the SEC, and they're rectifying the situation. So, whatever that means. And they've said that, you know, their student athletes were put in a very difficult position, and yada, yada, yada. They're self-reporting is basically what they're doing. Odell Beckham screwed up.
I guess.
But he doesn't care. It doesn't affect him. But now he's got an arrest warrant, so I guess it does.
I guess when they figured out what he was doing, somehow I guess the security got involved, and he took exception to it. So I don't know where it's going. It may go nowhere, but I just thought that was interesting.
Well, good luck, Cleveland. That's all I can say. Good luck.
Good luck to their new coach, who just got a 5-year deal.
Kevin Stefanski. Yeah, we'll see. Does he last 5 years?
Well, history shows us that no. No Cleveland Browns coach
under the Haslams
last 5 years.
That's such a weird situation up there.
Hell, Bill Belichick, I don't think lasted 5 years, did he?
Probably not. No, and that was the old Browns. That was
right.
Medell.
That was
Medell.
Yeah, that was more of the good old days. And of course, with their standards.
Yeah, which
not the last 20 years. By the way, happy birthday to Matt Duchene.
Happy birthday.
Today is his birthday.
Am I allowed to call him Dutchie, you know, when I'm wishing him happy birthday? Or?
Do whatever you want. You just have to deal with the consequences.
I know. And look, this morning, you know, Braden and Derek are putting me out behind a liquor store because you guys are on remote tomorrow. at a liquor store, and they're like, "Oh, why are we sending Chase to a liquor store?" And I'm like, "Guys, I'm going to be in Kansas City." So,
well, that's why it happened.
Yeah,
because it wasn't going to happen, and we just found out whenever they booked your flight. Then they're like, "Okay, yeah, now we can have the remote at the."
I'm glad you all think so highly of me
at Wines and Spirits.
Yeah, that I can't handle myself. That's fine.
Well, that wasn't my decision. I'm just saying that's how it played out. Is once they. Once the sales department realized that you were going to be on a plane, they're like, "Okay, we can do it at the liquor store."
I'm sure that's exactly how it went down. Picking on little old Chase.
Yeah, all right, we will come back and you will hear from head coach Mike Vrabel talking about Sunday's matchup as we inch a little bit closer here on this Thursday. And then following Mike Vrabel, you're going to hear from Derrick Henry. So a lot more discussion on the AFC Championship game and championship weekend. We do that to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game.